All right, let's pray and get into our lesson this morning. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. Thank you for your goodness to us. I pray, Father, you give us understanding, and I pray it would be practical and we would heed to what you have for us this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as we continue our study in the parables of Jesus, we're going to look at the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. Notice, if you would, in Matthew chapter 13, we'll read verse 1 through 9 and get in our lesson this morning. It says, the same day when Jesus went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and a whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now after Jesus talks about the sower, he explains the parable in verses 18 through 23 of this chapter. And in the 18th verse, he calls this the parable of the sower. Now, this particular parable of the sower is very important. Speaking of this parable, Mark tells us in Mark 4, verse 13, and he said unto them, speaking of Jesus, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? Now, Jesus not only gave the parable, but he also interpreted the parable, so there should be no reason why we don't understand what it means. Now, as we look again in the 13th chapter of the gospel according to Matthew, it says this in verse 35, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. When Christ mentions that, he is quoting Psalm 78 and verse 2. Now he reveals to us, especially in the seven parables given in Matthew chapter 13, the mysteries of the kingdom or the rule of the Lord. Now, the first four parables are spoken to the multitudes in general. And the last three parables, they're spoken to Christ's disciples. And the first of the mystery parables is the parable of the sower. Now, Matthew 13:1 tells us that the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. Now, the setting of this parable is at the Sea of Galilee, most likely there at the city of Capernaum, because that was Christ's earthly headquarters while he was ministering here on earth. Now, in this passage we read moments ago, notice the expression, let him hear. Now, many times when the Word of God is spoken, we put the emphasis on the speaker. But here the Lord Jesus Christ places the emphasis on the hearer. And the hearer would be who? You and me. We need to have ears to hear what thus saith the Lord. Did you ever wonder what happens to the Word of God after all the preaching and teaching that goes forth? You know, our Lord comes on the scene and he says, let us place the emphasis on the hearer. In particular, he spoke about the soil of the human heart. Of course, his inquiring disciples asked him why he spoke in parables. And you know what? He quotes from the book of Isaiah in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 13. He says, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing,
and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should what? Heal them. Now the Lord Jesus gave these stories, and they are the greatest stories ever told. But he gave them for a purpose, and that was to arouse the interest and curiosity of these people. You know, sometimes I believe we as God's people get so used to preaching, so used to teaching, that you know what? We really don't hear with the intent to listen carefully and be doers of what we have been told. Now, if you consider all the recorded teachings of Jesus, and one third of them is taught to us in parables, surely the Lord wants us to understand these stories that he gives us. Now notice the interpretation of what he just spoke in the first nine verses. Notice what it says in verse 18 through 23. Here he says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one." Who would that be? Satan or one of his emissaries, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon. Now what does that word mean? It means immediately. Right away. With what? Joy he receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the what? Word, by and by he is offended. You know, if you truly have the right soil in your heart and you truly love the Word of God, you know what? Nothing in the Word would ever offend you. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the Word, and the care of this what? World and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some what? 30. Now, I hope you're all believers here this morning. I really do. And you know, you became a believer because you heard the word of God and you received it. Now, if you're saved, you've been born again. If you ask God to forgive you of your sin and by faith receive Christ as Savior, it was all due because somebody gave you the word of God and you received it. Now, those who have been born into God's family are all born by the Word of God. We are saved by hearing, we are saved by believing, and we are saved by receiving. As far as my testimony is concerned, I say that back in August 19, 1983, I heard the gospel, I believe, for the first time clearly, and by faith I received Jesus as my Savior. You know, however, I prove that I am a Christian. There's a difference between being a believer and being a Christian. You see, being a believer is there's many people out there who can give you a clear testimony of salvation. But you know what? Their life sure doesn't resonate that, does it? And what a crying shame that is. Now, I'm not going to doubt that they're not saved or whatever they claim to be. They give a clear testimony. I believe they're saved. But you know what? Salvation isn't all that Christ came to give us. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. And I don't for any reason understand why somebody would trust Christ and not trust the rest of his word and start living for him as they should. I don't get it. Unless the Bible tells us the reason why. And we see they don't have the soil others have. Listen, 48 times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the word parable is used. Now, as we look at the parables, remember, we are primarily looking for one great truth in the parable. You know, have you ever heard somebody try to make something out of everything mentioned in a parable? It's crazy, isn't it? There's one great truth Jesus is trying to get across. And what do you think that truth is as we read the parable of the sower? Is it the seed? Is it the sower? Or is it perhaps the soil? You know, there's no problem with the sower. No problem with the seed. But it's the soil. Now, when Jesus spoke that day by the seaside in Galilee, the words that came from his mouth were not corruptible words. They were incorruptible words. Because the words of Christ or the words of the Bible are incorruptible. It was seed which liveth and abideth forever. When we hold the Bible in our hands and give forth the Word of God, we are given forth incorruptible seed, that same seed that Christ gave in Galilee. Aren't you glad you have an incorruptible Bible? And if yours is an authorized King James Version, you ought to be shouting amen. Now, if you got some other perversion, you can't say that. Well, you just happen to be one of those narrow-minded, bigoted Baptists. Yeah, you call me what you will. I will be proud to wear that label because I stand firm on God's Word. It's living seed. It's life-changing seed. It is fruit-producing seed. May God help us to see again the power of the seed. You know, the Bible says that the Word of God will not come back void. You know, it always does something. You say, really? Well, what about those who reject it? It still does something. Didn't that happen to Pharaoh? Didn't he reject everything Moses told him that the Lord said to tell Pharaoh? And what happened to Pharaoh's heart? It kept getting harder. It will either harden or soften your heart, but it'll always do something. Yes, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, notice the sower. In this parable, Jesus is sowing the seed. He happens to be the one speaking and giving forth the Word of God. Now, every one of us ought to be partnering with the Lord by sowing seed. We are told this in Psalm 126, verse 1 through 6. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Amen! The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall what? Reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing what? Precious seed shall doubtless come again with what? Rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now the Bible says we ought to sow in what? Tears. You know, it sounds to me like we who are saved ought to be broken about the lost. You know, I think the lost world has seen enough of this dry-eyed Christianity. They need to see people with compassion. People whose hearts are broken that they're lost and undone and on the way to a devil's hell. We ought to be what? Sowing what? Seed in what? Tears. Now, all of us should sow the Word of God. We ought to be preaching it. Now, I'm not saying that means you stand behind the pulpit, but I am saying, you know what, you ought to go forth and tell somebody that Jesus saves. That means you tell people the Word of God. That means, you know what, you can quote Bible verses to people. And you know what, that word will not come back void. And by giving God's message to a lost and dying world, we are sowers of the seed. Now, can you help what kind of soil they have? No! All you can do is what? Sow the seed. That's your responsibility. Then notice the soil. Now, too often, we want to be soil samplers, don't we? And that's even before we sow the seed. Now, here's something. You know, I've been doing this for a long time. And you see a group, let's say a group of young people, right? They're all tatted up. They got multicolored hair. They got piercings all over. You know, they look like they jump face first in a tackle box. What's your first thought? They don't want to hear. Correct? You're soil sampling. I'll tell you what, those people there, they're most likely to hear. They're looking for something. They just never heard the truth. And instead of avoiding them, we ought to approach them and tell them about Jesus, the mighty to save. Stop being a soil sampler. Well, you know what? That guy's cussing. He's a mean cuss. You know what? Oftentimes, those are the people who get born again. We should not inspect the soil to see if we'll think that the soil will accept the seed. We should simply sow the seed and what? Leave the rest in God's hand. Now here Jesus is the what? Sower, isn't he? And he's sowing what? Seed. Now he's looking at this crowd and you know what? He's realizing there's some out there, you know, that seed's not going to have any impact because it's going to land on the wayside. So did he stop sowing seed because some people weren't going to accept it? You know, so often I think, you know, you go out, if you do any soul winning or you sow the seed and people reject it, you get this idea, well, nobody wants to hear. Now, that's not a true statement, is it? Not at all. You know, the gospel still works. People still will receive it. You know, I imagine before I got saved, there was some soil samplers on me. They thought, man, that guy don't want to hear what I have to say. You know, I knew some people who were Christian. They never told me one bit, one iota of the gospel, and all the while my soul was hungering for truth. But you know what? I was living a hard life, a sinful life. And no doubt they said, he won't listen. And no one shared it with me until a while later. Now that's sad, isn't it? Don't be sampling soil. Just sow the seed. You know, have you ever heard the phrase, you're just picking green fruit? You ever hear that? Yeah, you're a knucklehead if you believe that. Our job is to what? Sow the seed. That's all we can do. And if people aren't willing to hear it, then we're still, you know what, still supposed to give them the gospel. Now, when you read this parable, don't get the idea that only 25% of the people are going to get saved. Only 25% of the people have good soil. That's not the point. That's not it. It's talking about the different soils of the human heart. Not percentages. Now the Lord says there's some people have absolutely no interest in what he's saying. They came probably just out of curiosity. But you know what? They weren't interested in what he had to say. And you know what? I've been going soul winning now for over 40 years. And you know what? I hear more and more today than I used to. I'm not interested. I'm good. And I'm thinking, no, you're not. But I'm not interested. I hear every week when I go forth. Every week. I'm not interested. Now, that's on them. But you know what? Jesus knew there were people in a crowd didn't want to hear what he had to say. Now, they may have even had a casual interest, but they were soon gone. Now, we would have found people who seemed to be sincere followers who professed to believe and receive. But then when things got tough and Christ's words were strong, they turned back and followed him no more. Remember when he preached the Sermon on the Bread of Life? You ever read that? And I mean, boy, they said, oh, this is some hard sayings. And what happened to them all? They all left. Now, that was perhaps his biggest crowd. Boy, he knew how to thin the herd, didn't he? And then he even turns to the disciples and say, hey, you going to leave too? You know what the average preacher does today? And it's sad. Oh, I'm sorry I offended you. And they do everything they can to bring those people back. Now, is that what Jesus did? No, he didn't. I wish we would get a hold of that. You know, sometimes when the preacher gets up there and preaches something you don't agree with, you don't like, and you know what? I ain't ever going to go back. Well, you know what you just proved? You don't have the right type of soil, and you need to get your heart right. As long as it came from the Word of God, you shouldn't have any problem with it. Maybe it's time that you adjust your life to it. Yeah, that's how people are, right? I don't dislike what he says. You know, he didn't give me the mink glove treatment. He didn't stroke my ego and tell me how good I am. I don't like being convicted. Well, that's really one of the purposes of God's word, is it not? Isn't the preacher supposed to reprove and rebuke? Isn't that his job? I should say his calling? Because if it is a job, no doubt he'll just give you what you want to hear. But you know what? When the Word of God got a little strong and it challenged the people and they got convicted, what did they do? They bailed. Now, of course, there's some that have good ground. Now, that does not mean that they're, perfect, but that means they had a heart that was receptive to what was being brought forth by Christ himself. Now, we need to ask ourselves, what kind of heart do we have? Huh? You know, it is amazing to me that a preacher can say a million things that you agree with. And there's one thing in the Bible you got a problem with, and he preaches on that, and you know what? You're gone. Now, why is that? Is it the preacher's fault? No, you need to have the right kind of soil, don't you? And maybe, you know what, he's just doing a little tilling and a little plowing, but you're not willing to receive. He's sowing seed on fallow ground because you harden your heart in that area. That happens, doesn't it? So what kind of heart do you have? You know, I think when I first got here, I used to have this thing over the back of the pulpit. And it said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That was the verse. Is that what I had, Dennis? Yeah, I had a banner back there. Because you know what? I realize, I'm preaching up here and people getting all upset over everything. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with you people? I mean, If I'm wrong, I've always said you come and you address that to me and I'll make my apologies and I'll change my preaching. But if it's from the Word of God, you know what? Don't tell me what I think, because I don't care what you think. And you shouldn't care what I think. We should only care what thus saith the Lord. What kind of heart do you have? Now, in application, let's take this a step further. We must keep the soil as good as we can. Our hearts can grow hard, and our life can become fruitless, even after we trusted Christ as Savior. You know what? You can attend church faithfully, but you know what? You can allow some things in your heart that shouldn't be there, and then your heart grows cold and it gets hard. You know, one thing I pray on a regular basis is that God would keep my heart softened to His Word and to the promptings of the Holy Spirit of God, because I don't want a hard heart. I want to be receptive to everything that comes my way. And by the way, when I go someplace, I enjoy getting preached to, okay? And when I get preached to, and if they're hitting me hard, I'm like, oh, I'm not coming back here. Forget this conference. No! I'm hitting the altar. I want to get right in that area. I don't want a hard heart. Perhaps there was a time when you gladly received God's word. Maybe you were hungry and thirsty to hear from the Lord. Maybe you had fertile soil waiting for the seed to be sown. But now, you're calloused. And you sit there. Bless me if you can, preacher. And you know what? The preaching never applies to you. It's always somebody else. Boy, and you walk out of here, so-and-so sure could have used that. Well, that's pretty sad, isn't it? How about maybe he preached that for you? Not specifically, but you needed it. We need to get back to the place where we receive the Word of God as we should. Now, some of the seed landed by the wayside. Now, when the Lord gave this parable, the people were familiar with the terms. Now, on the path where people walked, there would be hard soil. They would walk along those paths, and it would harden the earth. Well, some of the seed that the sower sowed, it landed on those hard paths. And you know what? The fowls of the air came, and it never took root. Have you ever been hiking? Yeah. You ever notice those paths? Nothing grows on them, especially if it's a hike where everybody happens to go on. The Lord says, you know what? Some of you got hearts just like that path. It's hard. You're not going to receive anything that I say. And you know what? If what you hear, the devil comes and his imps and takes away that which I have spoken to you. Now, when he interprets this parable, he says this in verse 18 and 19. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now the wayside is a hardened path. And the person who doesn't get it. Their hearts are hardened. You know, not too long ago we had some young woman come in. And you know what? We did our best to win her to the Lord. And what is, she said, I just don't get it. Well, what happened? That heart was so hardened she could not receive the Word of God. Now, was the seed sown? Yes. Was it received? No. I still pray for her, by the way. I'd sure like for her to get saved. We did everything we could. We even gave her a Bible after we witnessed to her. But the wayside is a hardened path. Then some seed fell onto stony places. Now the second type of soil is shallow. Then Word of God says this in verse 20 and 21. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, or immediately, or quickly, with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation and persecution ariseth, because of the word, what? He is offended. Offended. You know, how many people who got saved when the preacher got up and preached something were a little cheesed? I know I was. And you know what I learned early on in my Christian life? I'm a doofus. And just because I don't see the same way God sees it, I better adjust my thinking and better adjust what I think and line it up with he thinks, because what he says is a whole lot more important than what I think. Amen. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, you can be a fool if you want to. That's what it is. And you know what? Here's another thing. You're not only foolish, but you're prideful. You're unteachable. Who are you to think you know more than God does? I've met people like that before. You know, not too long ago, somebody who claims to be a Christian is trying to sway me to believe in evolution. And I couldn't believe what I'm hearing. And finally, I just looked at him and I said, listen, it takes more faith for you to believe that nonsense than for me to just believe what God wrote, that God created the heavens and the earth. I said, I can't understand. I said, you say it took place 10 billion years ago. Well, some scientists say it took 50 billion. Some say it just took millions. I said, you know, you say you believe in science. You know what happened? They got Fauci'd. That's right. Science. Believe me what I'm telling. No. Believe what thus saith the Lord. Stony places. You know, they sit there, they get saved, and they're excited. And then what happens? They come to church, and the preacher says something they don't agree with, and what do? Hightail it out of there. And probably go back and badmouth him to everybody that'll listen. I can't. Here's one. I can't believe that. He believes women, married women ought to be in subjection to their husband. You say, how do you know that chafes people? Well, we've lost a lot of folks over that one issue. But isn't that what God says? Now, isn't the preacher supposed to preach it, whether it's popular or not? Why do you get all upset? Some preachers, they mention tithing and they lose a bunch of people. You mention premarital sex or sodomy and you lose a lot of your folks. Now, what a crying shame that is. But you know what? Stony. Stony ground. That's all they got. Then others find themselves amongst thorns. Now, the third heart is a crowded heart. And anything that crowds out Christ out of your life is a thorn. Now, remember, it could even be something good. Others might say, oh, that's a wonderful thing. But if it crowds Christ out of your life, it is a thorn. Now, God's word says in verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh what? Do you see that? The cares of this world. Trying to keep up with the Joneses. Trying to make all the money so you can can all you get, can all you get, and eventually just sit on your can. Living for the world. You know, can't make it to church, can't read your Bible, can't do anything for the Lord, can't serve Him like you ought to, because this world is what you're caught up in. And you don't bear any fruit. Now that's shameful. Who's supposed to have preeminence in our life? Jesus is. Now you know what? You can get caught up in family. You can get caught up in all your friends. You can get caught up in a job. You can get caught up in a bunch of things. But if it's taking you away from the Lord, it's a thorn. It needs to be done away with. Don't get caught up in the cares of this world, making money, living for the world. And by the way, those riches, they're deceitful. It's what it says. You know, I've seen people come here, get saved, they get the help they need, they get a job, they start making money, and we don't see them anymore. Now, that makes a lot of sense to me. That's a crying shame, isn't it? Oh, they needed the Lord when they were in want, but they don't need Him now that they've got a few bucks in their pocket. Listen, many people do not live for Christ as they should because they have a love of money. What place does money have in your life? You know, our money on our currency in the U.S. is in God we trust. Some of us need to change that in gold we trust. How much do you worry about it? Ask yourself, how much do you talk about it? Do you believe God is able to provide for your needs or not? And you know what, if you put Matthew 6:33, the promise that is there, seek you first what? The kingdom of God. Seek you first what? The kingdom of God. Not seek you first the riches of this world. Seek you first the kingdom of God and what? And His righteousness, and all these things, what? Shall be added unto you. Is that how you're living? Most of us got that twisted a bit, don't we? Do you pay the tithe? Did you hear that pin drop on the carpet there, Earl? Now, isn't that something? We can trust God with our eternal soul, but we can't trust Him with the 10% that He requires. And we'd rather rob Him than do without. Makes sense to me. You know, a lot of us, maybe not a lot, but some may have overextended themselves. You know, the Bible principles on finance work. Well, preacher, I'm on a fixed income. So am I. Anybody else? Everybody is. If you get paid $20 an hour, you're on a fixed income. Listen. Stony ground. It's pretty rough, isn't it? Then look at the good ground. Oh, we're almost at 11 o'clock. I better hurry. Doesn't it end at 11:30? Notice what it says. Good night. We also find seed falling on good ground. The Bible says in verse 23, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth what? fruit and bringeth forth some what? 100-fold, some what? 60, and some what? 30. You know what these people on good ground have? They were willing to receive the word of God and be doers of it, and it bore that fruit. How is it with you? What kind of soil do you have? All right, we'll have some more in just a few minutes.